Hi, this is Christian Doidge and you're listening to the Cymru Leagues podcast.
Hi, Nikki Johns yma, a ti'n gwrando ar podlediad Cymru Leagues.
Hi, this is Chloe O'Connor and you are listening to the Cymru Leagues podcast.
Shumai, Emlyn Lewis sydd yma a da chi'n gwrando ar podlediad Cymru Leagues.
Episode 32 of the JD Cymru Leagues podcast is here, and this week we're at the big boys table as we head over to the Deeside Stadium, or virtually at least, for an interview with a member of the JD Cymru Premier Champions. My guest today has been instrumental in shaping the footballing development of Connors Quay Nomads over the last decade and more from the ground up. He's one of the most respected coaches in the Welsh game, and a fantastic guy as well. Today's the day we get to know a little bit more about Connors Quay Nomads Director of Football, Jay Catton.
So Jay, I guess, you know, 10 years ago if somebody had sort of dropped out of the sky and said, listen mate, this is how your next 10 years are going to go in a football sense, I mean, would you have believed that the journey is going to go like it did? I mean, it's been a phenomenal decade, hasn't it, I guess?
Yeah, it has, Jay. I mean, to be a part of it's been quite special, really, because we've had a team of such great people, so many great players over the years, staff that have all contributed in their own way, along with people off the pitch as well. And as I said, I think, you know, I had a personal sort of ambition, maybe you could call it, as long as a vision of one day, you know, aim for the top. Probably people would have laughed at that point, where we've just been, the first season coming, where we've just been ready from the Welsh Prem when it had gone from the 16 format down to 12. We didn't have an academy, no scholarship, no girls teams, no ladies teams, no 3G. You know, we had to train at a local Dock Road grass pitch, and all those challenges along the way, but ultimately to where we are now is something that everyone involved at the club should be extremely proud of.
And can you know, because a lot of fans of the club and people from the region, I guess, will know the story of, you know, where the club was 10 years ago, if you like, but for those, I guess, across Wales, maybe in the south and elsewhere, they might not know what the situation was back then. So can you kind of set the scene for us, if you like, as to where the club was at that point?
Yeah, so it was obviously the big change at the football club, arguably the biggest change at the football club, was the introduction of Gary Dewis, who took over the club, I believe we've been 11, 12 years ago now, and his ownership. And that was a big shift, because I think in previous years, people who had done a run of the club were fantastic people. You know, some no longer with us today, Ron Bidges, Ronnie Morris. And then you've got people such as John Gray, who led it in his own way in his period as well. But financially, the club was struggling. You know, like a lot of football clubs, and Gary Dewis come in, and obviously financial support and his link with extra sponsorship was massive, but also his vision and guide where he wanted the club to go and what he pushed. But I think, like I said, at that point where we had been relegated, I guess it's 11 years now, from the Welsh Premier when the format had changed, that was the big shift, you know. And I think Mark McGregor came in that season and we had a remit to obviously get back up as straight as we can. And I always remember that first season that we had, and it was my first, we were in the first team environment. And again, you look back, we had some fantastic players such as Craig Jones, Tiggers, Danny Forge, Jamie Petrie, Terry McCormick's. Just really, really good, honest guys who led that, and we were successful in winning that league the first year. But unfortunately, and this is a big part of a lot of football clubs, and one that we're very strong at now, is the structure of the club wasn't correct, and we didn't gain the license come end of the season. So again, one of the biggest knocks that we had is that we actually won the league, and you had to go into a dress room and telling players, unfortunately, we're not promoted because we failed on licensing criteria. And again, it just reinforced, really, Jamie, that the work that has to be done at the whole club at all levels, alongside the most important, which is always going to be the players and the playing side. But the whole structure at that point wasn't quite there, and we had to go again a second year to win it and then finally get that promotion back to the Welsh Premier.
I mean, we'll talk about the collective achievements of the club, I guess, you know, later on. But on a personal level, you know, you've achieved a lot in the last 10 years, haven't you? You know, yourself, obviously, you're a pro licensed coach now. You're leading these community aspects, as you mentioned, which we'll touch on in a minute in more detail. But you've had a great, significant, you know, personal growth in over the years as well.
Massively, Jay, you know, and I give a lot to the football club and to the Welsh FA, because they're opportunities that I was presented with. You know, I took every one. I'd always like to think that any opportunity, whether it's a small course, a trip, anything to do, anything with football at any level, I'm always open to and want to take part in. And as you said, I think the growth through the football club is to be able to go all the way through, basically, you know, from Leaders Award all the way to pro license, gained my degree in that time as well, from the University of Central Lancashire in Preston. And the opportunities galore from starting an academy up from scratch, to have the freedom, the backing to do that, and to implement ideas that I have in football, but also utilising so many great staff that we have across all levels. And that's a big thing at a club, is the collaboration of everyone. You know, it's all a we, not me sort of mentality, and that's been huge for success. But yeah, Jay, as I said, to be a part of it, to be part of that team at all levels on and off the pitch has been a privilege and something I've fully enjoyed and gained so much and so many experiences from.
And what were the short, medium, long-term goals, I guess, when you were putting your sort of plans in place for what the club could achieve over the next few years?
Yeah, well, I always remember first going in, and as I said, people may laugh and think, oh, you just wrote that after it. But I wrote a 10-year or 5 and 10-year sort of plan. It's just something that I do, and you try and aim big, and you don't always hit them. Of course you don't. But certain criteria that we were looking at with the football club, one of my first remits was to start an academy. You know, we didn't have a single team. I always remember the first day we went down to the Dock Road and had three players, and it was Jay, off you go, start an academy. And we had 3 under-16 lads who came, still remember this day. And it was, okay, job on. And it's one of the toughest. I always say to anyone who is running an academy, I would still argue it's one of, if not the toughest jobs at a football club, because you've got now the management of 150 to 200 players, parents on top of that everybody knows, always there's challenges within that, and managing such a load of coaching staff. And we grew, but it was amazing. You know, there's so much along the way, and look back to things we used to do, as you said, the putting up the nets and putting the corner flags in, the checking the grass pitches. For years, all of us were volunteers. So, you know, for years, nobody got any payment regarding that, because we weren't in the Welsh Premier. So there was no effort of funding unless you're a Welsh Premier team. But we started the building blocks, Jamie, and as the academy grew from one team to three teams to five teams, now to 10 teams, and a full-time scholarship programme, you know, it's impressive. And then obviously from a first team point of view, it was those gradual progressions as we go along. So from promoting into the Welsh Premier to sustaining ourselves in the Welsh Premier, to aiming for top six, aiming for playoffs, then can we get any cup competitions? Can we actually win silverware? And then to that ultimate goal of European football in Europa League, where we've experienced so many amazing times, and then to get that pinnacle, which we did this year in winning the league and representing Wales in the UEFA Champions League.
And you've mentioned the academy a couple of times. I'd like to pick up on that a little bit, if you don't mind. I mean, two questions, really. How much does it scale a club, if you like? I mean, in terms of how many people are involved in the club from before founding your academy, if you like, and then, you know, this point. And also, how much do you think having those academies has enabled Welsh football, I guess, to grow?
Yeah, the academy's huge, Jamie, now. I think people probably underestimate the requirements of it. The UEFA requirements to have an academy require so many A license, B license coaches, your goalkeeper setup, your S&C program, the games program, the training program. It's a, you know, it's a lot of work, but as ours has grown, it's been great to see. And when we did build it, something we've always had is we've had great staff that have had longevity at the club. I'm a big fan of that personally. I don't, from the players and the coaches, I don't see successful guys who club hop, if we say, you know, different club every year. Personally, I don't see that as success. You know, yes, those progressions are great, but there's a lot to be said on longevity and commitment. And at the academy, that's something we've been so fortunate with staff such as Kevin Manley, Neil Ebrill, that have been with us since day one, basically, only a few years in since they joined. People who unfortunately left the club this year after 10 years of service, Mark Rowlands. And those are people who ground it, and the commitment needed in the academy is huge, you know, for what they get. And we're very fortunate that But I do, I agree, Jay. I think it's a massive part of Welsh football. I think it has to be, you know, with where we're located. Obviously, us in particular, you have the Conference clubs on your doorstep as your Football League clubs. You have a huge offers of opportunities if you football. But the programme that we have, we do get boys from across the whole of North Wales, from across the whole of the North West, and that's testament to the Welsh programme. And I think it is key, the Welsh Premier League, as it develops, that those youth players get them opportunities to bring in. And like yourselves yesterday, you know, we have Aaron Williams came on at half-time. He's probably one of the great products currently at the moment, who came for our academy system, but then had a number of years at Buckley, which was key to his development. I think that is a big one. I think it's very hard now to play in the Welsh Premier consistently at the age of 17, 18. The league is very, very difficult now, but if they can get little snippets here and there and loan moves within the coming north, coming south, I think it's testament to those leagues and what they come back now. Aaron's at a pivotal part of the team, you know, playing regularly. But I think on top of that, I think rules they've got, Jamie, such as of the seven subs, two can be youth. I think it's key that clubs take that. We went all the way to Headbont yesterday. And we had Charlie Holland and Cameron Darn on the bench. And it's key because it's their experience. It's there within the group. It's their collaboration and looking to be part of it and progressing. And yeah, I think it's a key part for the Welsh Premier to keep developing, for the coming Premier to keep developing, sorry. And I think the academy systems play a huge, huge part in that.
And how do you measure the success of it, if you like? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you've had a number of first team sort of debutants from the academy. Is that your yardstick, or are there other ways that you measure, oh, this has been a successful cohort, if you like, of academy players?
Yeah, it's an interesting debate, Jay. I've been on a lot of courses on this, and how do you judge the success of an academy? You know, you could have said for ourselves at Nomads last year, our 19s won the coming off league, which was fantastic. Our three academy teams have all progressed to the finals. We're all progressed to the finals last year as well, so they'd all achieved on the pitch for their specific ages. We've moved two players onto full-time clubs in the last 12 months, in Louis Lloyd, who's Shrewsbury youth team, and Ben Thompson, who's playing for Fleetwood. Both have been in around first team environments as well, which is great. I think there's a lot to be said with where we've shifted quite a lot. Is it's great to have an under-19 player come off the bench and make an appearance. That's always great as a testament to any club, but there's also a big difference in an under-19 coming on for 2 minutes in a game that you may lose to an under-19 starting a game and being part of a winning team. And I think that's a big shift that we've probably seen at our club now, that as the club's developed, the gap and the target to make first is even harder than what it maybe used to be when we had, you know, even one of the strongest groups when we had Ryan Edwards and Reece Healy all come through the youth team together. And they went on, but also you have to be realistic. And at that point, we were a bottom half Welsh Premier team. So there was arguably a few more opportunities there available to the players. Whereas if you are a top two, top three team, it might be small amounts. But what you do have is if an under-19 player or youth player makes the grade for ourselves currently, I think they've got a very, very good chance of progressing, you know, and then making it further in the game at Football League level. As we've seen already with Preeti Farquhar, who's left us to go to Newport. Again, it's another great testament to the opportunities that a young player can get. There's different avenues as well, Jamie. I think I always love to see, ultimately, academy players playing. And I think it's a big testament to say players who continue to play a senior ball. And we played Flint the other night, for example, and Ben Nash, Tom Weir, and Conor Harwood all played for Flint. Now, they'd all come through our academy system, and that was great. They're playing Welsh coming Premier football. They've been part of our youth development programme, and are now playing at that level. And I think we had a weekend over a year ago now, and the Cymru North was playing. We had over 20 players from the academy system who were representing Cymru North or Cymru Premier teams. And that's testament as well. You know, it's great to keep players in the game. And if we can be start of their journey to what that journey will be, and the opportunities coming off, coming Premier can give is what it's all about.
And you know, people will think, I guess naturally, that the first team success is what means most to clubs. But in you know, I know with you, for example, the community programme is something you're really, really proud of, and it's something that the club takes a lot of pride in as well. I mean, I saw the you know, you do a lot of initiatives. You're doing mile a day things recently for the young players. I saw. So it's something, you know, that the club is as proud of as anything else, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, Jamie. I think that's grown immensely, arguably, since the laydown of the Keep Regime. You know, when that project came out and we were successful in getting the funding and supportive funding to actually have. And I remember what the FAW's vision was at that point, was to have sort of club hubs. And ours is that in abundance. We have all the academy teams there that use it. We have all the local junior league teams, Consky Tigers, Deeside Dragons, Deeside Phoenix. We have all them elements around the community. But one thing that the club's done really well in recent years is we've now got a vets team, a walking football team, over 50s team, girls teams at 8, 10s and 12s, a ladies team for the first time in history that did amazing well last year with Zara Hilton, making the Women's Welsh Cup semi-final. And all these projects are growing, Jamie. You know, the school projects are on a real winner, linking up with our four main ones in the Deeside area, Wepper, Golfton, and Shotton Primary School. So four really big primary schools there that we're working with. Unfortunately, with these times, COVID affected that, but we know them projects are going to continue and going to be really strong moving forward. And those community and links are what it's all about. You know, it's something that coming Premier, coming North, coming South, and all Welsh teams, all Welsh clubs have got a real pivotal role in communities, and probably now more so than ever because of challenges. And I think with the lockdown ease and restrictions and starting to get people back. And I think one thing that football has shown, Jamie, is that during this COVID, how much football means to so many people. I spoke to so many of our fans and parents and just people who wouldn't really perceive as involved because they come to watch games, naive on my part of how much it meant to them, you know, and just that social interaction with other fans, with club members, and it's huge. And again, I think when the fans do come back, there's going to be such an appreciation for it again. And it is what's missing. You know, there's no doubt our game the other night, for example, Flint's, that would have been an amazing game to play. Derby day back and over 15 years, I think it is, in Cymru Premier. It was a really good game. And that would have been 500 potentially more. But it's all come together. And I think the community aspects and community role clubs play are really vital and are going to be even more vital moving forward.
And to turn to the first team then, I mean, the last 5 years is when people are going to look at as the kind of golden period, if you like, and it'll take some topping in the future for there to be a better period, I think, than what has been achieved in the last 5 years. But it obviously, a lot of people will attribute that to when managerial changes were made and obviously Andy Morrison came in and so on. For you, being involved in the club for so long prior to that and obviously being involved in a pivotal role since, I mean, how big was the change when Andy came in and you know, initially now, not just overall, but how immediately did you see things change and what were those changes, if anything?
Yeah, look, you cannot give Andy enough credit, respect and everything that he's achieved and what he's contributed alongside the team and the club has been second to none. No doubt about it. I think where the big changes probably happened, arguably the season prior, in that we, unfortunately, Mark McGregor, who'd done amazing work at the football club, you know, I think people underestimate where Macca took the club in his years from the two promotions, surviving the Welsh Premier playoffs in the first season, was amazing. But when he left the club, we were currently 11th in the league, and we went on a really good run and we actually made the playoffs that season, winning the last game of the season against Brastatyn and Bangor had beaten Rhyl, and it was also Rhyl for the seventh spot, and that day I always remember because we'd gone from the scores had happened that Rhyl had lost the game 4-3 last minute. And we'd loaded the box thinking we need two or three more goals to have a chance of goal difference. And in the middle of the game, we're shouting for everyone to run back because we've got it now. And that experience, I think, from the playoffs where we made the semi-final for the European playoff spot. And we, one of the hardest games in part was we lost to Aberystwyth. And we were 2-1 up with 5 minutes to go and remarkably lost the game 3-2. But that was our sort of taster, really. And I remember, as I said, Gary Jewis then had a sort of vision of, right, this is, we want to push on now. And we want to get European football. And I think that summer we proved really well, and we had a really solid base and key signings, George Horan, who we'd signed the season prior, but then players such as Danny Harrison came in, Callum Morris came in, John Danby at the time, one of the best goalkeepers we've had at the club, alongside, and a big sign at the time as well, was Les Davis. So the club had done amazing work that summer, but unfortunately, the start of the season, we just didn't start well. It didn't click. Maybe there was too many changes. It was a very different team from last year, and it just didn't work. Unfortunately, Alan Bickerstaff's time then came to an end. And then I had four games, I think it was, in charge, and we'd won two of those, and then one cup, and then one defeat to Newtown. But we then we'd gone from 12th to 11th, and then obviously Andy then came and joined the club, and the turnaround was, as you said, it was incredible, because I think what the club had done is, and Andy always says this, all the foundations were there. We the 3G had been built, the clubhouse, our new clubhouse facility was done. We'd recruited very, very well that summer, you know, and it went on to prove that those players that had longevity at the club. But it just needed that football, real football technician with more experience and knowledge than me to come in and really push that group on. And I think, as I said, what Andy did was his detail and his knowledge, football, how he sees and things. And in particular, in game, I always give Andy huge credit for that. He sees things in game that I need to see on a video probably a number of times to get it. And that's an unbelievable playing career, years and years of coaching. And I think sometimes elements like that can be forgotten based on coaching badges. You know, you can have a pro license and A license, but it's, in my opinion, it's always going to be second to experience, to knowledge, to detail of what you've gained over the years. That's always the most important, and the licenses aid that. But yeah, when Andy came in, all of that changed. The element of what was required to win games of football regularly was a big shift, you know, a massive shift. And then he also brought in very well, I would say, that January transfer window was one of our best, in that we signed Nathan Wolfe and John Disney. And again, when you talk about key players and longevity, both with that and more, and John Disney still with the club. Nathan left in the summer, and then it was the roller coaster of all in a season, really, to go from where we were in the bottom two to staying up to top six, to then progression and playoffs. And as you said, the journey from there was amazing. And Andy, along with all the team, all the players, all the staff, deserve huge credit for that.
And I'll always talk about, you know, the TNS game in January. I think it was the last game of phase one, which you needed to win to get top six, or you did before the game anyway. I don't think, well, firstly, that was my first game of seeing of Andy's tenure that I'd seen. So I hadn't actually seen the club live in his tenure until then. And I also don't think I'd ever seen TNS just totally neutralised in the way that they were in that game. You know, I think obviously it helps to score after 4 minutes from the penalty spot, but you know, throughout the whole game, you totally controlled the tempo, you controlled the whole thing. Is that the moment where you kind of realise, okay, we're onto something here? You know, we could do something special with this group. Paul, was that a turning point of any sort?
Yeah, well, it was, in the fact that it made us a top 16 for the first time, and we knew the challenge going into it, that to get that first spot that we've never had before, would be, you've got to beat TNS, and it was an extremely strong TNS team. Everyone knows, you know, it was there. One of Craig Harrison's teams, and we knew the challenge. I think it was that the other year after the world record breaking. But again, as you said, I think that was one of the first games that, again, Andy had just come up with a tactical plan and vision over the week. Players had completely bought into it and had given everything to the detail and to the club. And yeah, as you said, to pull off a victory like that in the circumstances and to make top six, it sort of went from there, because I think, again, the initial idea, I believe, from the FAW with the top six, bottom six, was that if you have top six games, the highest standard games in the league at that split, it would arguably prepare you better for Europe. And it's not a bad vision, really, because I think that the top six games, again, whoever makes them every year, the level just goes up again for those 10 games. You know, it's, we know what's coming. For example, we're making the top six again this year, right? And it just does go to another level. And I think that win to enable us to get into that division and then have those 10 games of that level that we've not experienced before as a football club put us in real good stead then going into the playoffs, and we built a good run to give us then an opportunity to beat an Airbus team then in the playoff final to make Europe that arguably on paper that year was a better team than us. You know, they've been together longer. They've done Europe three the previous seasons. We've never done it before. But as you said, with Andy coming in and the team, a lot of players did that season was phenomenal. And that will always go down as a very, very special group of the football club, because what they achieved that year was set the precedence and set the whole for the following years.
I spoke to Andy before we started recording this. I spoke to him a few days ago about the working relationship, if you like, between all three of you as a coaching staff, you, Craig and Andy, and obviously the wider staff of the club as well. But the mix seems perfect from the outside looking in terms of skill sets and knowledge bases and stuff like that. You all seem to complement each other really well, on paper at least. I mean,
yeah, definitely. You know, it's three people who challenge each other, you know, question each other. I think that's always healthy. And sometimes, you know, if people come into a room, they might say, well, he's a bit argumentative here and getting thoughts, but that's important. You know, I think we're all quite obsessive with it, which isn't always a good thing. You know, there's a lot of, in football, there's a lot of sacrifice. You know, I always talk about a lot. I find personally the family balance is always difficult because of what you have to give up. In going to games, watching games, analysing, texting it on 2 o'clock to each other in the morning. You're getting home, you're watching Scorio games. But that's the level. You know, the detail now required in the Welsh Premier is phenomenal, with all the footage available, Scorio, all the Instat data that every club has access to, GPS data. You know, most teams have the GPS stuff now. And it's, yeah, the level's getting higher and higher. And as we always say, you know, to have more hands on deck, the better. And I think with the experience of Andy and Craig as coaches and managers in their own right, through different levels as well, and different clubs, both played the game at the highest level. You know, both played Premier League, which again, I'll always put a huge factor on that. That is a key mindset, because again, as players, they see things in a different manner than what I might see. Obviously, myself only played in the Welsh Premier a couple of times, a total different level to them too. But it's also good because it's different opinions, it's different thoughts, and it all comes together. But I think the key is, Jamie, with any sort of team, and with myself, Andy Crabbe, on top of that team, you know, Gemma Bamford, physio, Neil Ebrill, goalkeeper coach, Antonio Magalhães, analyst, Mal Latta, kit man, you know, it is a collaboration. And I think the key is that there can't be any egos with it. And there's always going to be disagreements or different thoughts. But what a manager always has, and what Andy's always had from day one here, is from me and from everyone at the club, is full support. You know, whatever decision's made, manager's job is the hardest. You know, it falls on him, the responsibility. And I think any manager at any club has got to have full support. And Andy's always had that. You know, he's had a great team. People that believe in what he's doing, people that back in what he's doing. And as long as he's here while I'm here, he's always going to have that, you know, because when it comes to match day and management, sees and how he runs games, as I said, I think in-game management, he's second to none. He's got a real, real attribute and skill, along with the detail that we all do prior to games. And it's a joy to be around, Jay. You know, we're in that office most days, most nights, along with academy staff. And it's just a buzz. It's a privilege to be part of, I always say this, to be in a room with Andy and Craig and be the one, again, being honest, the one that knows the least in the room compared to those two, more experience, more knowledge than currently. But it's a privilege, you know, you don't want to, I think there's a famous saying, isn't it? If you're the smartest man in the room, you're in the wrong room, you know, and that is very much at Connors Quay, that ethos. And we've got people at the club with other different specialities and special departments. And I think it's really key to let them voice their opinions as well across all levels, academy in particular. And it works well, you know, it is a team, it's a collaboration. And again, a great one to be a part of and privileged to be a part of.
And you mentioned right at the start of this, you know, you had devised a plan for the 10 years, if you like, that maybe raised eyebrows, to be polite, within the club at the time, you know, and made people thought, oh, this wasn't achievable, that wasn't achievable. But here you were, you know, 5 years later at the start of a period where all those things, I guess, would be realised. You know, I'm not going to ask you to go into detail of, you know, did we take everything off, but I'm sure a lot of them will have been realised over the last 5 years. So what was it like then to live that experience of seeing this plan come to life, if you like?
It was special. I think it's probably more special when you look back at it and what everyone's achieved. But I think you've always got to be careful, Jamie. You know, we look back and we've got in the club some of our European ventures, which are, you'd always say that's the pinnacle. You know, if a whole season, the work that everyone does rewards European football, those nights in Europe are special, you know, and our amazing nights against Stabæk, Helsinki, Soligorsk, Partizan Belgrade, Kilmarnock. You know, these are times and journeys that memories that are made are just that's what life's about. You know, it's those memories and being part of something and part of journeys with people. And I think that's great. But I also think we've got to be careful, and we always say this, that you're always looking forward. It's nice to look back, it's good to reminisce, but you've got to be careful with it because the coming Premier is evolving, adapting constantly, and the standard is getting higher and higher. You look at results yesterday, you know, and there's one goal in most camps. You know, it's small details in every fixture at every level. There is not one single easy game, comfortable game. All 12 teams, the Cymru North, Cymru South, are getting to the exact same standard, and you have to look forward. So yeah, it's great and it's amazing what everyone's done, but it's more important what we're going to do and how we're trying to keep evolving the club, how we're trying to keep progressing our programme, you know, especially at first team level, as we continue to move to full-time hybrid model, as it continues to evolve each year and getting better and better. We have to keep that, have to keep wanting to do that and keep that desire. And that's a challenge, Jamie, you know, for players and staff to keep those standards as high as possible, but not just to keep them, to try and continue to progress from them and push it each year, you know. And even little things, this morning we've got a recovery online session. You know, the lads have trained Friday, travelled Friday, stayed over, played the game. You know, but we know a session might be that 1% change, you know, it might be that one bit of detail that aids a player to play on Tuesday. And the extra analysts that we do, especially Andy, that they're just so important. And I think all those little bits that add up are just vital, and we have to keep looking forward and progressing at every sector of the club, from academy all the way through, and keep focusing on ourselves, developing our club to keep us competitive and at the top as long as we can be.
The big achievements, everybody will know, the cup wins, the league win, the European adventures and so on, everybody will single those out as potential highlights. But for you, as someone who's been involved for so long, I mean, I know you don't like to look back, and I promise this will probably be the last time I ask you to do it, but are there any underrated kind of highlights or achievements or things that people might not think about in terms of the journey that you thought were, you know, they were really special, and maybe they don't get mentioned by other people, but they're special to you kind of thing?
It's always a good question. We do have this debate a few times of what was the biggest night for the club or biggest achievement. For me, the big turning point was the Airbus playoff game. I'll always say personally, that one was just so big. Because we've been on such a journey that season as a club, with Andy coming in, and he had his own sort of background to that game as well with his previous with Airbus. And we went into the game, we had got the home advantage. We had, at the time, the biggest crowd at the East Side Stadium. I think it was just under 1,000 people there. But it was a £250,000 game, you know, for the first time in the club. That was what was on the line to them, get Europe for the first time in the club's history. And I always remember how tense, well, I was going into that game and nervous, and the work we'd done, as always, had been immense, and to get there and that famous Wes Baines goal with 10 minutes to go, and I think previously, just 5 minutes, Ryan Wignall probably should have scored for Airbus, and again, John Rushton, another good save, and it was just so nip and tuck. But that was the sort of start, really. And I always remember the emotions after that game with what we'd actually done. And winning that, and as I said, that was always the pivotal starting point to everything that followed on, and to then have Europe, which was Stabæk and the first ever game in Europe, and to win that 1-0 away was again another one, was just wow, what have we done here? Especially the first ever time in Europe, because there's always a stigma with Europe that any Welsh club, ourselves included, you want to perform for the country. You know, we're not playing anyone now in Europe, and it's, oh, we've got to keep the score now. We want to perform, we want to challenge and compete. And we've proven that. And to have so many amazing European nights, like Stabæk win, to go through the Helsinki win, to beat them. And obviously, a lot of people would arguably put the biggest result in the Kilmarnock game. I think there was odds that night of over 30-1 with the away fixture after losing the home leg. But again, to go there and win and then move on to play Partizan was incredibly special. As you said, the Welsh Cup win against Abba, that was another tremendous day. I always remember the weather on that one just being absolutely scorching hot, and it was just a sea of red. You know, the crowd that we brought that day and the support from B-side was immense. But again, just personally, that Airbus game at home in the playoff and what it led to was quite special. And I would still put that as a huge, huge turning point for the football club and for everyone involved in that, players, staff. It was incredibly touching and moving to win that game and what it led to.
I look at last weekend, I think, against Newtown and the manner of the game. For those who didn't see it, you know, there was a red card, you were 1-0 down and you come back to win 2-1. I mean, does that sum up what you've built at that club? Is, you know, it's a form team as well, Newtown now. But, you know, obviously they didn't start the season as they'd have liked, but they're probably one of the form team in the league at the moment. So to do that against them, you know, that spirit and the determination to get the result. I mean, does that summarise the culture that's been built at the club, if you like?
Yeah, I think that's key, mate. It's what we've built. You know, I think from top to bottom of the club, there's a huge resiliency. As you said, what Andy's brought to the football club, that probably summed it up, to be fair. You know, backs against the wall, going into the game, 5 key injuries to the team that we couldn't select. You're 1-0 down, you've had a man sent off, you should not win that game of football. You know, it's just simple as that. You shouldn't, everything is against you to win that game of football. But, you know, phrases we have at our club are find a way. You know, and I think that's always a big thing that we've always had at the club at all levels. And that's something, again, that's filtered down. And, you know, I think that is a key mentality. You know, you can moan, you can groan, especially, you know, in Welsh football, it tends to happen quite a lot of times. You know, people always like to find the failure or the negatives. But no, let's find what we can work with. Okay, that's a problem. Let's find this solution. Let's find this way to get around it. And that's football. You have to adapt. You know, adaptability is key. I think that's the key. I don't think there's ever been a game of football where we planned all week and it ever completely materializes in that way, because it doesn't. Because formations change, subs change, red cards change, adaptability. But again, you have to credit the players for that one. And like so many results over the years, we've done that before. One of the even arguably better ones was when we beat Druids 2-1 with 9 men. And that was the same situation, 1 down, and remarkably, we scored 2 with 10 minutes with 9 men. And that one, Newtown, it was. And it's testament to the character of the players, because I think a lot of people probably don't really understand how hard you train and what the demand is on the players, you know, physically and mentally. Through numerous factors, you know, if you play for Connors Quay, the expectations and demands are so, so high, and a lot struggle with it. You know, we've had a lot of players over the years that do, and they just can't quite maintain that. They've all got talent. You know, anyone who's played in the Cymru Premier has got talent, but to have that consistency at that level is first class. And again, it's huge credit to Andy that he's built and what he's implemented, but it's also put down, and I think it's really across the club now. And I think, again, going back to academy is one thing this year with the COVID pandemic. You know, the young kids have been affected more than anybody. But I think what the academy's done this year is we've really adapted and found a way with the numerous Zoom sessions, ball mastery, hit sessions, yoga sessions, team sessions, Q&As with first team players. And as you alluded to earlier, the charity work that the academy have done with Mind, with the 20-day, 1-mile-a-day challenge. You know, 150 kids took part in that. And together with our 200-mile running challenge in January, raised over £13,000 for Mind. You know, so there's always solutions. There's always going to be problems. There's always going to be challenges. That's life. That's football. But I think the key is finding a way, adaptability, and moving forward in a positive manner, and together as a group and together as one club.
And just finally, I know you've got your recovery session to go off to in a minute, so I'll let you go. It's two questions, really. I mean, you kind of touched on it earlier. What's next to achieve? You know, what is that next goal? And I mean, the other question, I guess, would be, obviously, TNS built a dynasty with their success. Is that the goal? And is that still achievable, given the way that the competitiveness of this league is rising year on year?
Yeah, I think it's a tough one, Jamie. I think people still don't know the gulf financially that we still have with TNS. You know, what they've built has been over 10 years. And they deserve huge credit, Jamie, as well. You know, I think people probably don't give them enough credit in what they do. You know, they won 9 leagues in the last 10 years. You know, that's incredible. And they've brought more money than anybody through the Champions League. As we know, there's a massive gulf in income from making the Champions League to Europa League, just like it would be in the English Premier League. And they've had that income source. They've also got an owner and backer in Mike Harris, who supported and led the club incredibly well, you know, at all levels. And what's been built at the venue, testament. But that's what we've got to try and continue to compete with and achieve with. But as you said, the league is getting better and better. There's probably a lot of clubs now that have got that ambition and got that vision. And I think what we probably did by winning the league last year is probably put it to a lot of clubs of, well, this can be done. You know, you look at the Haverford result yesterday. So they've just beaten TNS. They're pushing for top six. You know, they've got big ambitious plans, same as Penobont yesterday. And I think a lot are seeing that now, Jamie, that there is opportunities there to compete. And as we all know, I think the big one in the Cymru Premier is European football. You know, we want to keep being part of that and making the grade and making them European spaces to represent the club in Europe. And I know a lot of talk of it, but with the new European format this year and the third competition element, ultimately there is a better chance ever of making the Europa League group stages proper. Ireland have proven they've had two teams now that have made it. You know, I do agree that I don't understand why there is an opportunity that a Welsh club could do that in the future. And I think if everyone together is aiming for things like that, you know, there's different challenges around it with Europe. I think you know, we have this debate to help Welsh clubs out more. I think there's got to be more done. Again, personally, and maybe that put on the clubs, but I think not playing at home is a big challenge. You know, again, something that Andy Morrison talks about a lot, and I do agree with that. I probably shifted to that, that we end up playing Sarajevo in a Champions League fixture and we have to go to Cardiff to play it. And our journey south was longer than their flight. And, you know, that's crazy. And our record at Deeside Stadium would be immense. We understand there's the regulations. We've got to get the seating better. And maybe that's on us as a club to look at that more. But I think that's a huge change to success in Europe. I'm also quite a big advocate, Jamie, I don't know your opinion on this or others, but of summer football. A lot disagree with me on it, but I do feel that if you had a summer league in the coming Premier, there's no doubt it would help teams in Europe. You'd be going in season. You wouldn't have to be grabbing friendlies. You wouldn't have a break. So I think what people understand, Jamie, is what happens a lot of time in Europe is you finish the season, you then have maybe a week off and you go again. But a lot of the time you're going again because you've recruited, you've added a few players in or you've let a few players go. Whereas in my opinion, if you go in season, you've got a solid team that they're together, you've got an understanding. And I just think all these things have got to be really focused on for a team to have all their opportunities and to do that success in Europe. But again, to be part of it, I think it's a really key one and something that we're ambitious on. And just like all other Welsh clubs, I think if anyone could ever make the group stages, that's surely got to be the ultimate vision and goal.
I'm really glad we got to chat. That is the life of a Cymru Premier football person these days. It's obviously taken us some time to arrange because schedules are so busy and everything like that. But I was keen to speak to you. And, you know, I think the journey you've been on personally and as a club is fantastic, you know, and I wish you all the best for whatever's next. I'm excited to see what the next adventure is and, you know, the next big achievement.
Will do. Thanks, Jamie. Keep up the great work, mate.
So that was Jake Atten, offering a really important perspective on not just the growth of a leading Cymru Premier club at the senior level, but also at those crucial foundation levels, if you like, with the junior and academy setups, and the vital roles they can play in the growth of a club at this level. Thank you to Jay for finding the time to chat, and thank you to you as well for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to be kept up to date with the latest episodes, and take a look at our back catalogue to hear from our excellent guests of Pods Gone By. Take it easy. We'll see you soon.